Hey, 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 what's up?
Hey.
How are you?
Good, I'm jazzed about this episode.
I know, this episode is our best yet, I think.
I'm just so excited about our guest. We don't have guests very often, so it's fun when we do.
Well, and no offense to them, but our only guests have been our friends before. I think we may have made a new friend on this one.
For sure.
Dr. Laura Froyen. Awesome. Totally cool. Can't wait for everyone to hear it in a couple minutes. We're going to go through some of our normal shenanigans and then put the interview on for you. It was so great.
Yeah.
I should put a disclaimer out, though. Like, it really makes me seem like a bad parent. I'm not a bad guy, am I?
It doesn't make you seem like a bad parent.
I just yell a lot.
No, and it's not that you yell a lot. You just don't have a lot of patience.
I don't have a lot of patience.
Just,
I am so
that's just
bad.
The kind of person you are. I mean,
yeah, I'm so bad with the patience. But, you know, I recognize it. It's been a problem in my career. Now it's presenting as a problem in parenting. It's been a problem in relationships. It's my cross to bear. It's my issue. What are you going to do?
Fix it.
Fix it. That's what we're doing. And that's what we did with Dr. Laura. Yep. Hey, welcome back to the Uprooted Podcast, everyone. That's Christine.
And that's John.
Mr. Impatient over
Mr.
here.
Mr. Impatient.
If I were going to be a crappy X-Men superhero like we're going to talk about in a little bit,
yeah,
I would be Mr. Impatient. Like nothing could happen fast enough for
really,
me.
Really? Is that what? Let's make... I know you have a question. And we'll get to those questions. But yeah, what would your superhero name be? Would it really be Mr. Like, what's your superhero power?
Oh, man.
If you could take one thing about yourself and like make that a superhero power, what would it be?
I think it would be Charming McGee.
Charming.
I think I can charm people. I'm pretty witty sometimes. And people seem to like me when they don't really know me.
I like it.
I think after they get to know me, that wanes a little bit. But I think the key is recognizing it. And I recognize it that I'm an asshole sometimes. I get it. But I think initially I am I think I can charm people. I've always had that skill with people I deal with in my field of work. As far as like when I deal with a bad guy in air quotes, I'm just really real with them and nice and can usually get my way. I don't know. Yeah. Charms McGee.
Okay.
And plus that embraces my Irish heritage. So that would be my superhero. I wear like
how does that? Oh, because of the McGee part?
The McGee part. Charms McGee. Here to save the day with my charm. And I wear like a kilt and, you know.
Oh, all right. I like where this is going.
Carry around a harp or something. A magical harp. Isn't a harp Irish? It's on the Guinness bottle.
I guess.
I don't know. Harp. Anyway, what would your superhero be?
After I asked the question, I immediately like didn't think it was a good idea because it was going to come around to me. I don't know, maybe problem solving because I'm creative when it comes to that. Like the problem solver. I don't know.
That's so boring.
I know it's boring, but I feel like I have a really creative mind and I'm able to see ways to get around stuff and to do things more creatively.
You know what? I thought of something, and this is perfect segue to that. I thought of this in the shower the other day.
Oh.
Yeah, right? Not that. kind of like that. I was thinking that lately with our X-Men adventure and then talking to our friends on the Knowledge of Nothing podcast and your English teaching notes you give out every now and then, we should introduce a new subject called Talk Nerdy to Me. And we could talk about nerd stuff. And you could give an English lesson every now and then. No?
No.
Okay.
I teach all day. I don't want to do it again.
I'll leave the segment.
I'm okay to talk about nerdy things, but I don't really want to teach an English lesson.
Do it inadvertently. Like we don't have a segment for it. You'll just sit there and correct me on some propositional adjective noun.
Preposition.
I don't know. Yeah. See, exactly. Exactly. That's what I'm talking about. Welcome to Talk Nerdy, everybody.
Okay. Done. And done.
All right. So my question for you is,
okay, question.
When things get back to normal and we have the means to maybe, I don't know, travel anywhere, give me 2 to 3 places you would never want to go. Countries,
oh, man.
States, whatever. Somewhere you would just not on the radar whatsoever.
Hmm.
And you can tell us why if you want.
So it's hard because I'd love to see the Taj Mahal, but India, I just don't want to go anywhere near. I think after seeing it so many times on The Amazing Race, I just don't want to go there.
I do kind of want to go there, and I want to find that fucking call center where the spam calls come from, and I want to break in there and be like, I'm here, bitches. What do you got? What do you want?
Sounds like Liam Neeson's next movie.
I just want to go in there and be like, stop calling me. I'm telling you to your face, do not call this. Call me again. I will find you, and I will kill you.
Yeah, see? Liam Neeson. All over it. So yeah, India probably. How many did you tell me?
Whatever, 2 to 3.
Oh, okay.
Because I have another question, so we don't want to take too much time.
Okay. I mean, probably like Kansas, Nebraska area. Don't really have any desire to go there.
Well, we have a goal to go to all 50 states. So right. You're going to have to figure out a reason to go there. I mean, I'm going to have to
at some point.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't ever, that's not like, let's go there.
Yeah. More research needs to be done because we will go to Kansas and Nebraska, even if it's to see the, you know,
you just asked Wizard of Oz Museum. Where I have like no desire to go.
Well, you saved one for me. I appreciate that. Unless you're going to give three.
No, but I'll save that one for you because I don't have any desire to go there either.
For me, we have a joint disdain for Australia.
Well, it's not that we have a disdain for it. And I'd love to go there.
Yeah.
I'm just...
You know what? We should go there as part of a cruise sometime if we're able to, because then we can just get off, see the Opera House, have a shrimp on the Barbie and a Foster's and bug the fuck out without having to deal with the spiders that are like the size of me.
What the hell?
They have spiders that are like as big as me. And I'm big. They're huge.
What's with the spiders?
And I don't foresee us going out into the bush, as they call it, if we went there. But they seem to be everywhere.
Yeah.
No thanks. I'm not a spider guy. We saw a video
today that was infested with... just burn the damn place down.
Yeah.
Just burn it down.
And they're everywhere there. And I don't know how people deal with that. They must just be conditioned to it.
No, thank you.
And then the other one for me is China, which really sucks. Because there's some beautiful places there, but... I don't know, man, the whole communism thing and the way viruses seem to start there.
I just feel like you and I would like accidentally take something and we'd be like...
We'd be caned.
We'd be like put in a Chinese prison and like never to be seen again.
And I'm just going to throw... This comes from PTSD from The Amazing Race as well. All those hot countries like the Philippines, Vietnam,
Thailand.
I
mean,
I know we're probably missing out on some really beautiful cultural things and I probably sound like a total jerk here, but I don't like to sweat unless I'm working out. I feel like when you just are there, you just are like constantly like existing in sweat.
Right. So Florida, same.
Yeah. So I mean, at least Florida has its periods. We'll go to where Disney World,
but that's really about it.
Yes. And at least there are at least a few months out of the year where you can maybe bypass some of that. It's in the 70s, whatever. But over there, it seems like it's miserable all the time. And for me, this goes for China, India, whatever. There's people everywhere. So I can't deal with all that crowd. That would drive me bananas.
Well, yeah. No.
All right. Real quick. Give me two places you really, really, really want to go.
Italy and Greece.
Okay. That was quick.
I really want to go there.
I really want
maybe
to go...
Maybe New Zealand. Sorry, that was three.
I really want to go to Norway and Laurel, Mississippi.
Yeah, Laurel would be cool to go to, but I'd rather go to Italy and Greece and Spain. I forgot about Spain.
Oh, yeah. Spain, Portugal.
Like all of that, all of it right there. All that stuff. Yeah,
they look amazing.
Yeah.
All right, well, that was fun.
So fun.
Well, should we just get right into the interview? Because there's a lot of great content. It covers our parenting stuff.
Yes. All relationship. Right. All of it. All of the things in one beautiful, tiny package.
I hope you all enjoy Dr. Laura Froyen from the Balanced Parent Podcast. She has a PhD in human development and family studies with an emphasis in couples and family therapies. Man, that's just what we need. And boy, did she help us a lot. We have some strategies we're going to go over in her workbook, which you will all learn about in the interview, and we're going to go over those next episode, but I feel like we learned a lot, and it's really great, and I hope you all enjoy it as well. All right, welcome Dr. Laura Froyen. Am I saying that right?
Yeah, you got it. Nice work.
Perfect. Laura has it kind of looks like Fro-Yo. I mean, no offense, but I love myself some Fro-Yo, so figured it.
That's not what I've gotten before.
It looks similar, so I figured I'd just go with it. You have a PhD in human development and family studies with an emphasis in couples and family therapies, right?
Yeah.
Sounds like it fits
us. It's
a
mouthful.
Yes. Sounds like that's what we need.
Yes, so much. Absolutely. So I told you a little bit about my story over email, but I mean, just to refresh the listeners so they understand why we're having you on, but we decided... What, 3 years ago now?
Yep.
To pick up and move from California, Southern California, where we were born and raised, have all of our friends and family, and said, you know what? Let's start new in Massachusetts with no help and growing kids. And after we got here, we discovered or found out that our son was diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder, which adds its whole other kind of group of challenges. And, you know, we're just feeling the effects of having to parent basically 24/7. And then you throw a pandemic in there as well with zero separation. And we feel it sometimes, right?
Yes. I think sometimes is definitely not the adjective I would have chosen. But
always.
Yeah.
The heavy load of parenthood. Yes. Yeah. And having, you know, a exceptional kiddo too. It's a lot.
Yeah. Yes. So you and I kind of connected through Clubhouse, which is a fabulous new app that unfortunately I don't have as much time to spend on as I'd like to. But, you know, I kind of talked about what my show's about and you came on and said, I'd love to be on. And I listened to your show and read about you on your website. And I said, this is a match made in heaven because we need help.
And he came to me and he told me how excited he was. And I was like, yes, that's a great idea.
I'm so glad we found each other then. Yeah. Tell me a little bit more about, like, you know, what's going well and how I can help and support you.
So basically, I think he kind of already explained we have zero help. So it's parenting between him and I 24 hours a day. I'm a teacher. So for my whole day, I spend all day reprimanding other people's children. And then I have to come home and I have my children that I have to deal with. And we've got one obviously neurodiverse child and one neurotypical child. We're dealing with our daughter, our neurotypical child, just I think feeding off some of the anxiety of her brother. Not sure, wait, should I be scared of these things or should I not? We pay a lot of attention to Jacob, so my son.
Yeah.
And I think she kind of feels the effects of that too. So I think we just at the end of the day are so frustrated that we are done and our patience is really low.
Really low. And, you know, there's a lot of research too that for families who have a child with autism, that the couple relationship really takes a hit too, a bigger hit than for parents in general. All parents have their couple relationship suffer a bit in the first few years. But for kiddos who have some neurodivergence, those families find it even more hard, especially when you've got no help. Are there any respite programs that you can use to get a little bit of a break? Have you heard of respite programs?
We haven't heard of those. There are some like community programs that we have been kind of pointed to, but with everything going on, they aren't doing them.
So of course they aren't. Oh my gosh, it's so hard.
Yeah.
And you're teaching. Are you teaching out of the home then? So your schools, are they open where you are?
Right. Yes. My school is open. I'm face-to-face full-time.
Wow. And so that's a lot. So dad's at home with the kiddos all day, and then you've been with kids all day too, and then you come home and it's more, and it's just full on.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's interesting because I was at home all day. I recently went back to work. I was called back to work after 9 months of furlough. And so they're actually in school full time as well. So we do experience as parents our own little break during the day. But I think based on what Christine does for a living, kind of what I do for a living, and I've been working from home, kind of hybrid home, you know, and work, even though they're not here. But what I do for a living in security and emergency services and just dealing with that kind of whole S show, if you will, as it can be, that our patients run thin. And I'm just an impatient person anyway. I recognize that. I know it. I yell too much. I have no patience for anything. And so when, you know, when we have our alone time, which is that hour and a half or so before bed, we just want to have a glass of wine, watch our adult programming, maybe record a podcast or two, and we just get constantly interrupted, which just makes the blood pressure go up. Then we end up, you know, kind of at each other a couple times because we have differing parenting styles. And you mentioned that someone with a neurodiverse child kind of takes a toll on the relationship. And I saw that within my own family. My brother has an autistic son as well. And, you know, his marriage had some struggles. I feel like we're really strong. That really doesn't come between us. It's more about just, I have my style, she has her style, and we disagree on them.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's definitely something I can help you with. And the other thing that I'm thinking about too is that, you know, lots of times impatience comes from a narrowed window of tolerance. Have you heard of that term before? A window of tolerance?
No,
I haven't. You all can't see me, but I'm holding my hands together like they're an equal sign.
Yeah, I see.
Right. Yeah, right. And so, I meant your listeners can't see.
Yes, true.
You know, so when when we're well rested and well nourished and have lots of time to take care of ourselves, our window is quite wide. And, you know, we can kind of handle the ups and downs of life really well, you know. And when we're stressed, we've not been getting enough sleep. Perhaps we've not been eating very well. Maybe we haven't gotten the movement that we need. Emotions are high. We've got stressful jobs, like you two have stressful, chronically stressful jobs. That narrows our window of tolerance. And so things that we'd normally be able to just kind of roll with, like having a cranky kid, would normally, when everything is going well, would fall in that window and we could handle it. But when our window is narrowed, then the cranky kid falls outside the window. And that's when we snap and lose our patience. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Yes, 100%.
I think your window's shut.
It's sealed yeah, shut. It's frozen. It's snowed in. I cannot open the window.
100%.
I'm writing this down. Because next time I'm angry, I'm going to tell my kids, guys, my window of tolerance is very small at the moment. I need you to do what I say.
Well, you know, and this is such a good conversation to have with a family, with the kids. Your kids are 8 and 10, right?
Yes.
They're 100% old enough to understand this verbiage. And especially for your neurodiverse kid, their windows are often quite a bit smaller than a neurotypical's kid. Just yes. Naturally, their window of tolerance is smaller. And so having this language, this shared language in the home of like, how's your window? Another good, like a good way that we talk about it in the disability community is spoons.
I was too. Just going to say, I've heard of spoons.
Yeah. Spoons. So whatever language works best for your family, but taking a look at how can we widen that window of tolerance? How can we get more spoons into our kids' hands and into ours? And so one of the things that is so helpful for parents that I work with is a regular mindfulness practice. And a lot of people are intimidated by that when I say that out loud. They think that they're going to have to sit on a cushion and meditate and think about nothing for 20 minutes. And that is not at all how I teach mindfulness. And you don't even have to do it for that long. I like loving kindness meditations, which are super simple and are guided. So you're just saying a loving, compassionate phrase over and over to yourself again. You're sending yourself love and compassion. You can send people you love and compassion. And it's a beautiful thing to do kind of proactively. So every day I spend 5 minutes, just 5 minutes, only 5 minutes with a loving kindness meditation. And then when the blood pressure starts to rise, the window starts to narrow,
yeah,
that's when I put my hand over my heart and just, okay. May I be safe and protected. May I send love to myself and to my child. And that brings me back into like what I actually want to do with my kids. You know, just, and these practices are soothing, and research shows that they're soothing to the nervous system, and they widen that window when we do it over time. And it doesn't take a lot of time each day. 5 minutes a day is enough to see like an actual change in your brain.
I really love that
because stress response system.
I really love that because every time I blow up, I have this moment afterwards of feeling like, man, I shouldn't have done that. I don't want to do that to my kids. That's not how I feel inside about them. And so I like that. Maybe I'll try that, taking a couple minutes and saying, you know,
take a deep breath. I tell that to Jacob all the time when he's frustrated. Take a deep breath. Let it in, let it out.
None of us want to lose it. You know, and our kids don't either. Like, you know, if we have a more difficult, challenging child, they don't want to lose it either. None of us do. None of us want to explode on the people we love, right? Like that doesn't feel good to anybody. Getting that pause, it does take practice. So if we want to be able to have the pause in the minute to kind of come home to like what we actually want to do with our kids, we have to practice getting that pause outside of the moment. You know, just like if you were going to go and I was like, go run a mile right now.
Yeah.
And you haven't run and since you did the mile in gym class in high school, it would be really hard. But if you ran, you know, every other day for a few weeks, you could probably do that. You know, it just takes practice.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. I guess I should say to all the listeners out there, we're painting this terrible picture that I'm some mean guy and yelling at the kids all the time.
You just don't have any patience.
Right.
And I lose it very quickly.
And that's just I'm pretty sure I'm neurodiverse as well, just never diagnosed because it wasn't a thing when I was a kid. So I think my son and I struggle, but I want everyone to know we are on this fabulous adventure together. Kids are well provided for, get everything they want. We have a good time 90% of the time. It's that 10% of time where the window's very small. And I think it's because, like you said, there's just a lot of stressors involved with everything. The kids are stressed too. This is a weird time for them. Pandemic aside, just moving across country with no friends or family, it's been a weird transition for them that really hasn't been normal yet.
Right.
We moved schools because we bought our house versus renting when we first got here. And then the pandemic hit. So school's been weird ever since. They've never had a moment to kind of settle in. Mm. And neither have us really. I mean, the job I took when we moved out here, I switched into a new job and then got furloughed from that job for 9 months. And there's been nothing consistent except for our family unit, I guess, the four of us.
Yeah. And having each other to rely on, having the sense of a kind of we're a team, it's kind of us against the world, we can do anything together, is so important. And then when there's disagreements about parenting, that it can be unsettling to that sense of like we're a team, right? Especially it sounds like you two really rely on each other. Yeah. Do you want to talk a little bit about the differences and how I can maybe help with those a little bit?
I think I am just a little bit more on the calm side. Mm-hmm. Maybe I let too much go sometimes. I probably should be a little harder on them. And then he is very much expects a high level of, I don't want to say perfection, that's not the right word, but
no, I've got the answer.
You've got your rules and you need to follow them pretty much. And so he'll kind of, I guess, get upset with what he expects of them. And I'm like, oh, but they're kids. And so I think we kind of.
Yeah. I mean, I'm
take it.
I'm a director. I'm a leader in work, but I'm a different kind of leader. Like I'm not a slave driver. I'm not mean. I think I'm very open to communication. I even have a leadership podcast where I talk about those different approaches. But one thing that's consistent in my day to day with my employees or my team is strive for excellence. So I have very unreal, lofty, high expectations. And I carry that over to the kids, to my spouse, to the people in the grocery store, to this podcast. I want it to be perfect. And so I think that's my neurodiversity kicking in that hasn't been undiagnosed, is that I'm just very particular about everything and I like things the way I like them. And so always having this higher standard of striving for excellence, if the kids mess up even the slightest little bit, it doesn't sit well with me. And you're much more, I guess, accepting of that and working.
I spend all day telling students that it's okay to make mistakes and we learn from our mistakes and how can we fix it. So for me, when my kids make a mistake, I'm more like, all right, we made a mistake, let's learn from it. But for him, you know, our daughter spilt her milk for the 90th time this week. And he's like, I'm done. Why don't you know how to not spill your milk? You know? So it's kind of like that, I guess.
Yeah. For me, it's been, you've been trained to do this. It's important. Why aren't you doing it? And like this accountability that needs to be held that just comes from who I am and what I do, I guess. I mean, I know I'm blaming that and using my work as a crutch, but when you do it every day for 20 years, I guess it becomes part of you.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And, you know, John, I think that part of it is, too, that it's made you very successful. Right?
I think so.
You've been relying on this trait of yours. It's served you well professionally and in your own life. And of course, it makes sense that you would want that for your kids too, that you see how much it served you. What can I ask you a question about it, about the kind of the perfectionism and the kind of getting it right?
Absolutely.
Where do you think you learned that?
You know, I was just
memories of it.
I was just thinking about that when you said that, and you're looking at me like you might know. I'm not sure I know, because I think I can speak openly about this. I was a mama's boy, 100%. My dad didn't really have much interaction with me, like show me how to tie a tie or any of those things dads are supposed to do. But I didn't really miss it, I guess. I didn't even think about it as a thing when I was a kid. But I have an older brother who was like very competitive, I guess, and was always, I can do this better than you. And I don't know if that's where it comes from. I really don't know.
I mean, I have an idea.
Can you tell me? Because I don't know. I honestly don't know.
I love it when partners know so much about each other. I love it.
Please tell me, because I don't know.
So I feel like when you have diversity in your life, you can go one of two ways as you get older. You can either that's how I've lived my whole life and I'm not going to change anything, or I'm going to do the exact opposite of those things. Mm-hmm. And I feel like your family doesn't strive for that excellence. Not that they're terrible. They're great people. But I just mean they don't expect more in each other than what they already see. They don't have ambition. They don't strive for more. And so I feel like maybe you...
That's accurate.
...are opposite because you don't want to be that way.
Yeah, I guess I just, to sum it up, I just really don't want to fail. Like, my biggest fear is not having food on the table, not having a house for my kids, and having them experience their father or their life as a failure. So I, you know, I'll just do whatever it takes to make sure everything's right for all of you. And maybe that comes from my previous failed marriage. I don't know. I have no idea. I'm messed up. I need therapy. I need you.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
No, I mean, I personally, like, this is my bias. I think everybody should be in therapy at some point. I mean, we go to our doctor for yearly checkups. Like, why wouldn't we go for a yearly mental health checkup? Right. You know, but, exactly. But like, that's my bias. But so, yes, I think everybody listening should have a therapist at some point in their life or another. But, you know, it's interesting, the relationship we have with failure and success, and who gets to decide what failure means and who gets to decide what success means. And I would imagine that if I asked you right now what your definitions of success were for yourself, and what your definitions of success are for your kids, because this is what we want for our kids. Most people will say, like, I want my kids to be successful. But what successful means is very different. And so I'm curious, have you had that conversation of, what does success mean for me as a person? What does it mean for our family? And what does it mean for our kids? Like, what does it look like?
We have not had it about what it means for the kids. I had a goal in my mind to make, you know, six figures before I was 40. That was like a goal in my head. And it's funny, I accomplished that goal and then felt like I needed to do more immediately. And so the
funny thing about those goals.
Yeah, it's so superficial. And I've kind of realized that now. And, you know, honestly, talking to a wall when I do my solo podcast has really helped me do therapy with myself, I guess, about these things. And I think my number one goal for my kids is I just want them to be good people. I don't want them to be mean to anyone. I don't want anybody to hate them. I want them to go through life being a good person. That's my only goal. I see that as success for them.
Yeah.
Okay. Can I ask you a follow-up question to that?
Yeah.
So how does spilling milk relate to being a good person? No, legit question.
Yeah. I mean... So the way that's an excellent question, and I've actually thought about that. The way I see it, and the reason why it makes my blood pressure spike is because I've told her so many times, and it shows me that maybe she doesn't care to fix it, because it's always carelessness that leads to it. It's not paying attention. It's flailing her arms. It's putting the cup next to the edge when I've told her 1,000 times to move it toward the center of the table. To me, it looks like she doesn't care, and I guess that's another success factor I want for them. I want them to be passionate about life and care. I want them to care. Mm-hmm. And that definitely comes from my family upbringing, because I feel like some of them don't care.
Aha. Uh-huh. There it is.
I know. This is great.
So what does it mean if someone doesn't care? That means they...
To me, it means that they're lazy, I guess. They just don't... They're not taking the time to care about something that probably isn't that important. But to me, it is. I'm not sure why.
No, you're doing great. So this is what parent coaching is. So then the next question is, John, is it okay that I'm doing this?
Of course.
I feel like I'm kind of taking over.
No, this is fantastic. No,
perfect.
This is fantastic. Okay, good.
So then the next question then is, how does someone learn to care?
Well, I feel like they have to be taught. And I feel like that's what I'm doing when I get angry and tell them about it again, is that, you know, you need to care about this because... And I always explain why. Mm-hmm. Probably on
how
the first.
How did you learn to care?
Oh, man. These are tough.
It's good. It should be tough. Otherwise, what's the point?
I think I'm still learning, to be honest with you. Because there's a lot of things that happen, especially in my professional life, where I'm like, I don't care. I have very little empathy. Again, I think that's my neurodiversity. And she's shaking her head because it applies to her, too. Like, very, very literal, very some things. That's not a... It's a non-starter for me. So I think I'm still learning to care, to be honest with you. I don't know that I know how.
John, then it makes so much sense to me that that would be a really important trait for you to have your kids have. And if it's something that still as an adult you're working on, it makes complete sense that you would feel really strongly about that with your kids.
Yeah.
Wow. One of the things that we have to remember is that the way that we were, you know, that we think kids learn how to do things or how to care about things often is not actually how they learn. And I know I'm talking to a teacher here too. So, you know, how, you know, this type of thing is not like a, you know, caring is not like a math skill or right. a reading skill, right? This is a social skill. And for the most part, social skills are learned through observation and modeling, right? This is how we learn those things. And so believe it or not, with things like this, kind of how do we take care of the house, all of those types of things, they learn that through modeling and support as opposed to kind of coming from a place of being told you need to care about this. They need to be given the opportunity to care about it. So, for example, my daughter is 5 and she was eating something, some kind of, I don't know, snack, some kind of like, I don't gummy fruit snacks. What are those called? Fruit snacks.
Yes. Yeah.
And she finished it and she dropped the wrapper on the floor. And I said to her, like, huh, okay, I see that wrapper on the floor. What do you think could happen with that wrapper? And she looked down at it and she said, oh, well, somebody could step on it and it's pretty slippery, so they could fall. I guess I should throw it away. And so she just picked it up and threw it away. You know, so giving them the opportunity to kind of question. So like when you see the cup on the edge of the table, rather than telling her to move it, saying like, oh, hey, kiddo, I noticed that cup's on the edge. And remember last time what happened when it was on the edge? Yeah, it fell. Like, we don't want that to happen. What should we do? And let her solve that problem for herself. Teaches the noticing skills. Because first she's got to notice that the cup is on the edge. I'm guessing she's not totally being like, I'm going to spill this milk again. Look, dad's going to get so mad.
No, how did you know? She is like...
Definitely not.
No, it's mostly just being clueless, like you said.
She's, yeah. We tell her she's lucky she's so pretty.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they just need a chance to be taught how to think in that problem-solving way. Taught to think in that noticing, like, ooh, I'm noticing this. So even just like saying out loud what you see, like just say what you see, can help clue them in like, oh, I see that too. That's a problem. I got to go fix it. And then they take the steps to fix it themselves.
I really love that. I think I may have tried that 1,000 times ago. But last night, Christine even laughed because I was just staring out the window at the snow and I just like grabbed the cup and moved it. I didn't even say anything. I saw it on the edge out of the corner of my eye. I grabbed it and I moved it. And then she took a drink and I did it again. I just grabbed it.
She put it right back where it was. Move it again.
But okay. So one other trick. How old is she again?
She's 8.
She's 8. Okay. So one other trick can be having her. Have you ever used those like little loop loom things?
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you could have her do one of those to make a little coaster for herself where she always puts her cup. So
go.
A little coaster can be a really nice,
I like that.
Just like, oh, it's not on the coaster. And then you can just say coaster. Like one word can also be really helpful. Just like, coaster.
I'm liking this.
Oh, coaster.
Yeah. Problem solving is what they need.
Yeah.
I don't have that.
I think, and I think maybe like I said, I think I may have given up on that a few times ago, unfortunately. But that's my own problem with patience is like, I'm just tired of hashing it out. So I just move it myself.
Yeah. And the other thing you can do with a situation like this, that is like constant and all the time, rather than trying to solve the problem in the moment with her, when she's distracted by probably the delicious dinner that you've made for her, is to have that problem solving conversation some other time when we're not in the situation where it's happening. So like, my kids like to do problem solving conversations on a drive in the car because then, I don't know, with older kids, sometimes it's nice when you don't have to look at them.
Yeah.
not that I don't like looking at my kids, but sometimes we have better conversations, you know, I don't know. Or like out on a walk is a good time. And then you can just say like, hey, I've been noticing recently that it's been hard to keep your cup from falling off the table. What's up with that? You know, how can I help you make sure it stays in the center of the table? And then just go from there and see what they say. There might be a lot of good solutions, like perhaps like she just wants to have a water bottle at the table instead of a cup, or, you know, whatever it is.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that that's funny you said that. That adds to my anxiety as we've transitioned from the cup to where she really likes to have a glass now. Mm-hmm. And I really don't want to be picking up shattered glass with the milk. So I tried to try to keep it from the edge.
Well, and I've told you that I don't drink at my meals. I'm a really strange person. Because when I was younger, it was the same for me. And so my parents gave me a cup of milk and it was on the kitchen counter and I couldn't have it till I was done.
Interesting. And because so you now, knocked it over too. Interesting.
Oh my gosh, I was so bad. So now I don't even have a drink at my meals anymore because I'm so used to having it after.
Have you told her that story about you and the milk?
I have. I think she's like, oh, well, mommy did it too, so it's fine.
Yeah. That's definitely her personality.
It's so fun. Yeah. Oh, well, I hope I'm helping you.
Oh, my gosh,
at least
so much.
A little bit.
Absolutely. I feel like this has been the John's parenting mishap show. So do you have anything you want to cover specifically to you?
I mean, no, it's mostly, I feel like when I fall apart is because you've fallen apart and now I have to fix them having fallen apart.
Yeah.
Or you're getting upset with me because I'm not falling apart with you.
Yes, that's something that happens for sure.
So I think that's kind of where I get stuck in the middle is that like now I have a crying kid and an upset husband and I'm like, I'm not sure. I don't want to like go rush to the kid because I don't want him to think that I don't support his parenting. I don't want them to think that I'm saying it's okay, not, you know, it's okay what daddy did. Like, we're not going to listen to daddy. Like, I don't want to do that. So I kind of just sit there and then he yells at me like, why are you sitting there? Like, because I don't know what to do.
Oh, wait. So go ahead. Ask John, like, what do you want me to do when that happens? Ask him right now.
Yeah. What do you want me to do when that happens?
I'm looking for an ally. I want you to fall apart with me.
Yeah.
Because like I said, what they're doing, like, for example, this happens nightly. I've told my son, he's the neurodiverse one, he's 10, 1,000 times, do not go into your sister's bedroom. He doesn't like to be alone. That's part of his issues. He likes to go say goodnight. And so he goes in there and he'll bother her and she has a hard enough time falling asleep. Yeah. So I've literally told him, Dr. Laura, I have told him 1,000 times over this pandemic,
probably 1,000.
Probably every night. Like I'm not exaggerating here. So almost a year of telling him this, don't go in there. I can't stress to you enough, don't go in there. We try to be a little lax with the punishments because they've got a lot going on right now. And I don't want to take away his phone or whatever the case is because they really rely on that for
the only thing they have.
Their sanity. So we can't stick to a punishment. And so I just tell him over and over again. And it comes to the point where I know you're upset because this is our time. And it's interrupting our glass of wine, our TV show or whatever. And I really get upset when it interrupts our recording because I'm also the editor and it just, now that I'm back to work, I don't have time for it. So it's all these stressors piling up. And so I'll lose my mind and yell and threaten to take something away. And she's just sitting there calm, like twiddling her thumbs, like, I'm going to let you go through this. And I want her to, I want her to be as passionate about it as I am. Kind of like I said, I want my kids to be passionate about stuff. I want them to care. I just want you to care as much as I do about this very minor thing. It's not a big deal.
I think that's what it is too. It bothers me because I know she has a very hard time falling asleep. So when he goes in there and says goodnight, it works her up and she's like, get out of my room. She gets upset. And so now she's all worked up.
And do you guys feel like you have a clear understanding of what his concerns are about the kind of going into the sister's room at night? Like why it's so hard for him to stay out of sister's room?
I think part of it is he needs to have his routine. And his routine is to say goodnight to everybody. So he goes into her room and says goodnight to her. And then he goes into the bathroom and goes to the bathroom. And then he comes downstairs and says his specific words to us to go to sleep. Mm-hmm. And then he goes upstairs and goes to sleep.
Yeah, it's just part of his schedule. And so I think we understand what it is, but I don't understand it, if that makes sense.
No, I totally get it, though. Okay, so then, if I have one kiddo who does not have a diagnosis, but has some differences, has some stuff going on for her, and this is the method that I use is called collaborative and proactive solutions. You can go to the website livesinthebalance.org. It's a free website. They've got great books too. So the book is the Ross Green is the author. His book is called The Explosive Child. But basically, it just teaches you how to have problem-solving conversations with your kiddo. It's a nonprofit, so the website is free. It's got tons of great information on it. But basically, what I would do was with your son, I would sit down with him and say, you know, and just say, hey, we've noticed you've been having difficulty saying goodnight to your sister before X time. So need to get really clear on what your expectation is, right, and when he needs to, because you understand he needs to be able to say goodnight to sister, right? You understand that.
Absolutely.
And probably sister wants him to say goodnight, but we don't want him to interrupt, you know, so you do have to get super clear on like, when is the deadline for him to say his goodnight to sister?
Yeah.
And then figure out why he's not able to meet that expectation. And it's possible when you sit down to actually figure out what the deadline is, you might realize like, oh, he probably doesn't know what the deadline is.
Right.
And oftentimes when we come up against these things, we realize that we as the parent haven't been 100% clear in what the expectation is. Like, do you know, like, what is the time that he needs to say goodnight to sister beforehand?
Well, he has to be down here at 9:45. That's his time.
So no, I meant for her. Like, when is his last chance for her? What is her
threshold?
Yeah, like when she's normally asleep.
Well, probably it's like 9:30. That's when she does her thing. Yeah, I'd say about
9:30 when she's finally starting to get kind of sleepy.
That sounds so late as we say it. We need to put them to bed earlier.
No, they go to bed at like 8:15, but they just don't go to sleep.
Yeah, that's true. This is true.
So, I mean, so she like maybe could he say do his good night a little bit earlier before he goes to bed? Could the good night happen some time earlier in his bedtime routine?
Yeah.
So in his ritual?
I think it definitely can. We just started 2 nights ago. They have their bedtime routines where they both come downstairs. Mm-hmm. And they notice that's what really frustrates him the most, because I mean, we finally get a chance to talk to each other after a long day. And then, you know, by 10:30, I'm like out like a light. So we only have like an hour, if that.
Yeah.
I mean, no joke. With the interruptions, a half hour program that we try to watch takes an hour and a half, honestly, to get through.
Probably.
Because we're pausing because they come down and then, oh, I need water. And it's just
a process. And then I also am aware, and his doctor has told us, when he gets up, when he turns the lights on, his brain wakes up again. And now he's got to start the whole going to sleep process again. So I explained that whole situation to them, and we have now the last 2 nights said, you're not coming downstairs. We're going to say our whole goodnight routine before we go downstairs.
Good for you. That sounds good.
So we do the whole air kisses and catching the kisses in the air and dancing and whatever it is we do. And then we come downstairs, and for the last 2 nights, it's worked out really well, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, knock on wood immediately. Yes. Right now. Knock on wood immediately.
I think it works. Yes, I shall too. I think it works really well when their status quo, but my job keeps me away at night. And so like the other night I came home at, I don't know, 10, maybe 9:30. And Jacob, our son, had started this new program, but he was waiting up for me to come up and say goodnight. Cause he has to say goodnight to me.
Yeah. He has to have that nighttime.
Unfortunately, I think it's a great strategy, but it's only going to be good, you know, on average 3 nights a week.
Maybe we can have him call you.
I'm okay with that. Yeah.
Or text you.
Yeah. Having a plan, or even some kids, it's like a pre-recorded goodbye from their parent who can't be there at bedtime too. So having you perform the goodbye, like, you know, air kissing, catching stuff that you.
Oh, that would be fun. I could do that.
You know, that can be a really nice thing for kids too, who need that kind of that reassurance, because really like that ritual is very soothing to a kiddo's nervous system, allows them to settle in and feel safe and secure.
We've got a complete audio recording setup over here. We're going to do this, right?
All right.
I'm going to record that goodnight.
Yeah. That's a good idea. Do it. Oh, that'd be fun.
I like it.
Good. And I mean, and include your son in that too. See if that works for him. That you will get so much more mileage out of plans like this if they're included in making the plan too. You know, if they feel like their opinion matters to you and that they've kind of got ownership over the plan, even if you can like somehow sneak in ideas so that they think that they came up with them, that's even better.
Oh, that's really good stuff. I like that.
That works on you too.
It does.
I know, right? Don't tell anybody.
Hey, I know it does. The most successful bosses of me have figured that out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that haven't been so successful dealing with me never figured that part out. Believe me, I know my issues. I worry about them. I read about them. I just can't seem to fix them. I don't know what I try really hard though. I do try.
I think there's probably room for recognizing how they've served you and the good parts in them. I found that parts of myself that I don't like very much tend to hang around, and that once I start being more kind to them, then they can kind of have a little bit more room to shift and change and help me in, you know, in different ways.
Channel them for good, right?
I like that. You're giving me all kinds of great ideas for my other podcast too. This is really good stuff.
So, oh, good.
Speaking of podcasts, please tell us about yours and tell us about your website. Let all the listeners know where they can find you, because I know a lot of our good friends in California struggle with this exact same thing we're talking about. It plagues all parents.
Yes,
absolutely. I mean, that's why I have a job. So yeah, yes, absolutely. So my podcast is called The Balanced Parent, and we're anywhere you can find podcasts. And I did, you know, I was thinking about as we were having our conversation, that I have a workbook that you two might really like, and that if your listeners are interested in some of the questions I was asking you, and like interested in getting support and asking themselves some of those questions, it's a really fun workbook to go through. So it's, if you go to laurafroyan.com/partners, it's a free workbook that I made for the couples that I work with. And I just thought everybody needed access to it. So you can download it. Yeah. And it asks you those questions like, what do you really want for your kids? What are your big core values and goals for them? Where did those come from? What do they look like in action? How do you teach those and support those in your kids? And then you kind of fill it out separately, and then you sit down together, glass of wine.
Oh, I love that.
And process it. Yeah.
That's a great idea
if you're not a drinker.
I like that.
We're doing that.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, we should do that as a follow-up on the air. That would be good.
That's a great idea, actually. That's a really good idea.
Yes.
Next week, we'll compare our answers.
And I have definitely subscribed to your podcast, and I will be listening.
I will be, too.
I think as we found out through this short, you know, half hour, I need all the help I can get.
We all do. And I, that's the thing. Like, there's no such thing as a perfect parent, and research actually shows that we shouldn't even try. Overwhelming research on child development and parenting is that good enough parenting is right where it's at, the sweet spot, because it's filled with warmth and love and acceptance of our kids, and enough ruptures and repairs to build healthy, resilient relationships, kids that know how to handle the ups and downs of life. So good enough parenting is the best thing you can be shooting for.
Does that also translate to relationships? Can I just be good enough? Is that all right? Can I just be good enough, please?
I tell you all the time that you're more than good enough.
I try the best I can.
That you're fine. I mean, you're my guy. You're my dream guy, and you know that.
Oh boy, sorry to hear that.
That's so sweet though. But you know, really though, that sense of enoughness, that's got to come from within. Yeah, we got to believe that so much about ourselves before we can believe it about others and offer it to others.
Well, right. That is good. I can't top that. I think that's a good place to wrap up. That is because I know that both of us, I mean, we could spend a whole other 2 hours on that. Both of us struggle with feeling enough for ourselves.
Right.
Very much so. I mean, I don't want to open another can of worms.
Okay. Well, just one thing. Just one thing to consider on that, just as a closing considering. You believe your kids were born whole and worthy just as they are, right?
Of course.
Worthy of love and compassion.
Yes. Absolutely.
Weren't you also a baby who was born that way?
Hmm. That's true.
Yeah.
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 It was.
That doesn't go away. It doesn't go away. It's always there.
The funny part is our faith should tell us that, right?
Yeah.
We should. Don't listen to it, do we?
It should. No, we don't as much as we should. You're right. Well, thank you so much. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
I mean, hopefully our kids will appreciate the new strategies that we will carry forward, or at least really try hard. We're doing that workbook. It's so important.
Absolutely. I agree.
Well, and I think the key here for all the listeners to recognize is, think about it, recognize there may be an issue. I know my faults as a parent. I think about them all the time and I always try to mm-hmm. fix them and I just can't. And so that's why, you know, not only did I want to have you on for other reasons and just kind of share the podcast love, but also because, you know, I need help. I need as much help as I can get. And I listen to all kinds of things. And like I said, I talk my way through it on my other podcasts and with anybody who will listen. And so I think it's important to recognize you have some challenges and seek out help. Mental health is so important.
Absolutely.
It is. And there's so much out there. There's so much good help available too. You know, none of us are in this alone. So thank you so much for having me. I really had fun with you tonight.
Oh, good. Yes, thank you so much for coming.
Yes, thank you so much. I really think we should do maybe a follow-up in a couple months or something to see if we've improved
it
all.
See if we've fixed it.
You know, see if I come back on and everything's all roses and happy here.
if it is, you're going to have to tell me the secrets to that, because I don't know. Things are ups and there's ups and downs that are just part of life, I think.
Yeah.
Well, again, thank you so much. You have two new subscribers from us absolutely. For sure. And we look forward to what you put out on the podcast, and we'll definitely be visiting the website, and all of you out there should as well.
Absolutely. Do it.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you so much.
Well, I feel better about my situation and also worse. I think that therapy does that to you, right? It's kind of like prison. You get rehabilitated, but it's kind of awful too at the same time.
I don't think so. I feel lighter.
Yeah. I mean, you've been in therapy before, so I don't know how it's supposed to feel, because I never have been. But, you know, you have to open up about yourself and really take an introspective look and say, I suck at these certain things. You're asking someone for help. So,
you know what? Therapy is like a good cry. You know, you have to watch yourself in the mirror when you cry. I mean, it's just how it goes. So you look at yourself in the mirror and you're like, oh my God, I look so ugly when I'm crying. And you have this like shame because you're like, why am I crying? Why can't I get it together? But then when it's all over, you're like, you feel good about it, right? You have a little tiny bit of a headache from the crying situation.
Yeah, that's true. You sure
do. But then
you
kind of got it out, and you leave the bathroom or the bedroom, wherever you were crying, with this like renewed sense of, okay, I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to get it together.
Yeah, I like it.
That's how therapy is.
It is like that. Well, anyway, I feel refreshed. I feel good. Better about my situation. I feel like I'm really going to rock this parenting thing, you know, tomorrow, maybe the next day. But then after that, all bets are off. I don't know how long I'll be able to sustain these learnings, but I think that we're going to go through that workbook and we are going to learn some strategies, and we may call Dr. Laura again and figure some stuff out.
Love it.
I love it as well. All right. Well, now let's get into the psyche and the therapy of the X-Men. Real review. Which one was this again? Days of Future Past?
Days of Future Past.
They're all starting to blend together.
They're blending because we're watching them too close together, I think.
I mean, a week apart. That's like football. Hey, you are asking me. People can't see this right now. What that beeping is? That's the snowplow, because it is freaking coming down outside.
It's bad. Yeah.
This is probably the worst storm we've had since we've lived here. Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, so sorry, everybody.
Sorry about the plow, my friend.
Hear some plow noises back there. It's, we're living the dream out here, having a nor'easter.
Yeah.
I love it. It's awesome. It's the best part about living.
It's probably our dumb neighbors, right?
No, I don't think they have the beeper. This is probably actually either that neighbor or it's the city plow doing the town plow. That sounds like a good bar.
Doesn't the town plow just drive up and down and back?
Yeah, I don't think they beep.
They don't beep.
Yeah, I don't know. It's probably somebody's private
plow person. Anyway, X-Men Days of Future Past.
X-Men Days of Future Past. This one was good.
It was better. I'm not going to go good.
I thought.
I'm going to say better.
I'm going to say good, because the effects were really good in this one. There were times where they were really good.
Yes.
You know, as they should be. It's 2014. Like I mentioned earlier in this process, this one was right in the middle of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which we all know and love are great. So they really had to step their game up. This one had like 92% certified fresh on the Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay.
So the critics thought it was good. They beat up the other ones, so they thought this one was good. And I will say this is probably the best one yet, maybe?
Yes, I will say that. It was a great concept. I'm just so lost.
Yeah, and I think it's our fault. Big time.
I think it's our fault, because we obviously should have watched these in a completely different way. Although one of the things I saw said that this should have been like the first one we watched. that would have been really confusing to me.
No, I think the first one.
Who are these people? So I only knew, I saw Storm was there and Bobby.
Yeah, at the end. Everybody
else, I'm like, who the hell are you? I don't know these people.
I think the first one we should have watched, if you're going to do this in the right order, and you know, the Marvel, other Marvel ones are all in the wrong order too. You have to go deep into geekdom to figure out how you should watch them chronologically for the story. But I think we should have watched X-Men First Class because that shows them when they're kids.
Okay. That probably would have been helpful. But here's my other situation. And I said it last week. I don't feel like when we watched the Avenger movies, I was lost ever. And I don't know anything about the Avengers just as much as I don't know anything about X-Men.
Oh, I agree.
Feel like when we were watching any of the movies that I was like, who's that now?
Yeah, they did a really good job of it, whether it was the after scene where they kind of previewed the next one. They did a really good job of making them make sense with how they released them. But then you can also watch them in a different order. So they're chronological to the characters, which also makes sense, which is weird.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know.
Disney is storytellers. That's what they do.
And I don't know if the X-Men series really was just relying on the fact that you obviously are watching this because you're a fan and you know these people. But like, I still don't know who half the characters in that movie were. I mean, I know our core few that we've seen in the last few movies.
Yeah. I feel like I've really gotten to know Wolverine, but outside of him.
Right. Well, I feel like Wolverine's like the main, which I don't think he's supposed to be. Is he even in the comics? I don't even know.
Yeah, of course he's in the comics.
No. I know he's in the comics, but I mean, as the comic, like the only thing I can compare it to is like The Walking Dead. It's Rick. Like he's the character.
Yes, I think. And there's
all these little people and factions going on around him, but he's our main guy.
From what I know from the brief things I've seen online or in a comic book store or whatever, is most of the X-Men one had him like prominently featured and the others behind him. So I think he is the main guy. Kind of like Captain Avenger. Wow.
Hey.
Captain America. That'd be cool. Is the first Avenger. I think he's kind of
the main guy.
Him and Iron Man, Tony Stark, kind of the main guys of that as well. And everyone else is their band of merry men and women.
All right. I get it. I don't know. I had myself the whole time going, now, who are you?
Yeah, I'm with
you. Who are you? Yes. And like they introduced Beast and I'm like, who the flip is this now?
And why is everybody blue in this universe?
And why are they all blue? Why is everything blue?
I feel like that we needed a cameo from the Blue Man Group, like drumming away. And right? Are those mutants? Or are they just really blue musicians?
Well, so I really liked we got a little bit of the Raven / Mystique story, which you know how much I love the origin situations.
Yes.
That was cool. I liked that.
All I know, I will say about this one, it was entertaining. I loved the effects. Some of the best I've seen. I mean, honestly.
That scene with the kid that slowed everything down?
Yeah, that was
awesome. I don't even know who that's who I'm saying. Who is that?
I don't know, but that was super cool.
That was really cool, but I would love to be like, that slowing down guy is really cool. I don't know.
It's funny. He wasn't somebody else slowed it down. He's the fast guy.
Oh, he's the fast guy.
He went around fast and like made everyone move. Someone else, I think it was Magneto, slowed everything down.
Was it because he was so fast it looked slow?
I think that's what it was. See how you are?
Fast forward man.
Fast forward man. He fits right in with, Charms McGee and problem solver lady. Fast forward
man.
Lady problem solver.
You know what we need to do is we need to write a comic book of superheroes that have like mediocre powers.
Yeah, just so.
Like,
they get lucky a lot. We
can bore you to death, guy.
And they only survive because they just happen to get lucky all the time.
Right. They just
right place, right time.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the name of the comic.
Right place, right time.
Right place, right time. I love it.
The Good Luck Gang.
Well, listen, you and I are lost on this completely.
Super lost.
We are other Avengers, Marvel people, and mostly Star Wars people and Harry Potter people. This is not
But I didn't enter this trying to be that way. Like, I wanted
I'm
to
with
enjoy
you.
These.
I'm with you.
So when you said, let's do it, I was like, oh, that's a good idea. I just feel
we wanted to enjoy them and we wanted to learn something. And I feel like we didn't never like landed
I have,
that.
I feel like I've watched an episode of The Leftovers. I have more questions when I'm done than I had when I got in.
Big universe of X-Men, X-Marvels, whatever, that we could go down if you really want to.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Although
I think
I'm interested in that Dark Phoenix movie because I do like, what's her name?
in a couple weeks, I'm so looking forward to this. In a couple weeks, we're going to do a crossover with Knowledge of Nothing and have a...
Maybe they can explain this whole mess.
I want to do like some relationship-based pop quickies they do on their show. It's going to be good.
What is that?
They ask like a question like Pepsi or Coke. And usually...
Isn't that what we do?
And usually... No, we don't do that. It's all like pop culture stuff, but also food stuff. And Wayne will ask the question and Tony and Brian... comment on it, and they rarely agree, and it gets super heated. Tony's like, what are you talking about, Brian? How could you like ketchup over mustard?
I feel like however that we are too similar that we would agree all the time.
No, but the point of this, where I think it's going to be fun, is the four of us are gonna, it's gonna be a shit show of disagreement.
All right,
okay. That is the new podcast coming.
I hope
to
I can hang with Fridays. You guys.
Oh, you can. It'll be fun. And we're gonna hopefully break down this X-Men. And I don't know that they're the biggest fans. Maybe Brian is, because he's a comic book nerd. Admittedly, that's what he calls himself on the show. So I'm not using the wrong terminology here.
Okay.
So he may know, but I think Tony's like me. He's a Star Wars guy. Wayne is like a Ninja Turtle guy or something.
Ninja Turtle.
You know, I do too. But Brian seems to know everything about all the comic book stuff. So I'm hoping they can shed some light on our confusion.
Who was your favorite Ninja Turtle?
Oh, Michelangelo.
Oh, I liked Donatello.
I liked his laid-back personality.
Yeah.
I figured you'd like Raphael. He's so serious and philosophical. He's like the smart one.
Yeah, but Donatello was purple, right?
Yeah.
That's why I liked Donatello, because he was purple. That's my favorite color.
I did kind of like Leonardo, too, but I was Michelangelo all the way.
Yeah, he was...
sloppy, goofy, yeah, loves pizza.
The pizza guy.
That's me, mm-hmm, all the way.
All right.
Okay, well, I give it, I think effects alone and the fact that they finally kind of did something really cool that I'm accustomed to in these movies, I'm going to be right there with the audience and the critics. I'm going to go 90. It was good. It's entertaining. I would, if I spent money on this, I would not have walked out of there like, oh, fuck, what a waste. I would have been like, okay, that was fun. I don't get it, but it was fun.
All right. I'd give it, I think I'm going to give it higher than I've given any of the others for sure.
Oh.
I'm going to give it an 80.
Oh, that is higher, yeah.
It is higher, and it was very hard for me because actually part of it felt like I liked Wolverine's story better.
Yes.
Because it didn't confuse me as much as this one did. I still had those moments where I was like, wait, what? But I feel like you said, the effects like really helped me in this one to just at least like, ooh, that was really cool. And I did like the concept of like having to go back to fix the thing that needed to get fixed.
Yeah, that was cool.
I did really like that part.
I just have one beef with this movie, and it started with the last one and then this one. The bone claws, it makes me like squeamish.
It doesn't make me squeamish. I just don't get it. How could they possibly be stronger than metal?
And I tried to read on the internet about that. I didn't get it either. But yeah, like I have this weird phobia with bones and blood and like the seeing the bones out of it. It just... I don't like it. It was like not good.
I did have that one moment that I felt very smart.
Yeah.
When I realized that it was the guy that made him Wolverine.
Yeah, that was you pay way more attention than I do.
Ish, not kid.
Rattling off names and everything, and I'm like, who is that?
I was not rattling any name. There was no names that were rattled off whatsoever.
It has to be really in my wheelhouse for me to 100% pay attention to every detail. I don't know why. I think I'm looking around at like too many things, but
okay.
I like this best one yet. So hopefully Apocalypse doesn't disappoint as well. I think it might.
Oh, really?
Based on the scores that I saw, I think they didn't close it out on a good note. But I hear, you know, Disney owns this now. And like I said, there's supposed to be some huge like superhero circle jerk at some point.
So wasn't the Phoenix one after Apocalypse?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, I have no idea.
I thought so.
All I know is Disney has not sunk their bone claws into it just yet and made a movie. They have
the bone claws.
Only purchased it. That's why they're allowed to show it. And I think, like I said, eventually all the phases of Marvel Cinematic Universe and everything's supposed to come together in some superhero, super, super duper mashup. I think. I thought I heard that somewhere. I could be wrong.
Well, I hope it's never X-Men against Avengers, because I feel like X-Men are probably going to get obliterated.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing they got going for them is Wolverine can't seem to die.
Yeah,
unless you suck the metal out of them, the healing thing. But other than that, all of them seem very fragile. And, you know, like if the Fantastic Four's involved, I'm not in. Those guys were awful.
Yeah.
I don't need to ever see Mr. Rubber Hands again. That did not do it for me.
That was Stretch Armstrong.
So bad.
So bad.
So bad. Although, you know, it's funny. we were talking about how bad Chris Evans was. I was bored the other day and I put on Civil War briefly, and he's so much better. I mean, he obviously was older and whatever, but and that character just so much miles better. Like, he gets the most improved actor award.
Most improved.
If there is such a thing.
Wasn't he in some stupid teen movie where he was like some dumb...
We're going to have to hit up Kelly on this one.
I think it was like... No, I think it was one of those... You remember those date movie and scary movie?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think it was one of those.
Not Another Teen Movie, maybe?
Yeah. I think it was that.
Probably. I could see
something
that.
Something like that. He was in it and he was like the boyfriend or something.
Probably. Yeah, and probably off of the fame of Fantastic Four.
Maybe.
Hopefully you can tell in my voice, everyone, that I was using air quotes.
Huge air quotes.
Yeah. All right. Are we done then?
We're done.
Wow.
What are we watching next week? Apocalypse?
Yeah. X-Men, Apocalypse, Endgame. No, Apocalypse. Endgame's the other one.
Endgame is the other one.
Yeah. X-Men, Apocalypse. And then we will be finished with this. And then we got to get back to actually really trying to find movies again.
We have to actually find another movie. Yeah. We can find another series if we want to.
We could. This was kind of fun, yeah. Although, it was kind of fun, but then...
Although it was kind of like, can we be done with this yet?
Yeah, four movies into it, you're like, we have to watch another X-Men. Let's find something we like.
Well, if we liked it, we would have seen it. That's the problem.
That's true.
That's the issue, is finding things we haven't seen. I would... You know what? We're going to do it. We are going to watch The Shining, and then we're going to watch Dr. Sleep.
Okay, I'm into
it. Because I have never seen Dr. Sleep.
And I've never seen The Shining, so it's good.
So we're going to do that, but it's very long. So we're going to have to start one night and end the other.
We'll figure it out.
It's like 3 hours long.
We'll figure it out.
All right. That's what we're doing after that.
All right. Hey, and this will air in the first week of February. So happy February, everybody. We made it through the longest month ever. It is your birthday month. We'll have to do a special birthday Valentine's episode. Yeah.
And yes, I am one of those person. It is my month. I just a person instead of people.
Yeah, but you don't like... I don't know. You don't like your birthday because you're getting old.
Yeah, because you constantly remind me how old I'm going to be.
Just for the club, not the earth.
Yeah.
Hey, getting old is cool, man.
No, it's not.
All right. Anyway, I want to give a big thank you to all the listeners. The downloads like all of a sudden went through the roof. I don't know if it's because we talk about other people's podcasts that are better than ours a lot now, or if it's because we've been talking about superhero stuff. I have no idea. Maybe people really like what we're putting down. I have no clue, but thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, India. Huge listenership out in India. Thank you, everybody else. So great. We really appreciate it. It's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rate, I mean, review, please.
Yeah, do all the things. And I think, you know, people don't really understand that a lot of work actually goes into this, and we're not complaining because we enjoy doing it. But if nobody was listening, it like wouldn't make it worth it. Like, I really spend lots of time editing, and we have to give up our night to record. So really, thank you so much. It means a lot.
Yes.
It's like you're seeing your hard work pay off, and we don't get paid for this or anything. So it's great. Keep it coming. All right. Thanks, everybody. Wash your hands.
Don't touch your face.
Don't touch your face.
Wear a mask.
Don't, like I tell the kids before they leave, don't breathe, don't smile, don't talk to anyone. Keep your distance. Wash your hands, wear your mask. Cheers.
Cheers.